Thanks for listening to the Catch a Pocket podcast. I'm your host, Lori Burris. Really glad to have you guys. Nice to talk to my friends. I miss you guys. I've been kind of socially distant, and I usually am socially distant anyway, so I'm not really noticing too much of a difference, but just a little, like being able to go to a restaurant with my friends once in a while, or go up to my favorite bars, Kirby's and Lucky's, and have a beer once in a while, and I miss all of that. There's lots of great places you can donate to people out there in need. There's lots of people in need. If you need anything from me, please reach out to the Catch a Pocket podcast, and I'll be happy to try to at least give you a lending ear or something, because, man, I have a job. I've been working from my table in my house for some days now, and although it is wonderful to be home and to be with my son and to be safe and have a job, it's also kind of weird and different, and anyways, I miss everyone, and I can't wait until we figure out how to cope with this problem. It seems like everyone has a different idea every single day. Anyway, episode 23 is Colin Allen. He is an artist here in Wichita. Wonderful guy, making some really cool products. I'll put the links to all his things, all his sites, Instagram, Facebook. I'll let you know about the Go Create program at WSU. These are all closed right now. I think they open in phase 3. I think phase 3 is going to be in June. This is all I got, babes. Thanks for listening, and here's Colin Allen. Okay, so my next guest on the Catch Pocket podcast is Mr. Colin Allen. He's an artist, and we're going to talk a little bit about him and what he's doing now and what he's done in the past and future to come. So, how are you today, Colin?
I'm doing okay. I'm excited. You know, yeah. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming. So, usually on the podcast, I talk about where you were born first, and we kind of go from there, and you take us wherever.
I was born here in Wichita. I've lived here most of my life. I traveled a little bit when I was younger.
Right.
But, you know, Wichita's a good town. It's a great town to make art. We have every resource, and I know all the salvage yards.
Right. So. You know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And your media is kind of that recovery type. Changing something, refurbishing, and that kind of thing?
Pretty much everything that I do has some kind of base in salvage materials.
Okay.
And so I spend a lot of time finding and trying to figure out how to utilize those materials in some way.
Right. And so you were born here in Wichita. Does your family still live in Wichita? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Just my mom and my dad. Mm-hmm. Obviously, my sister lives in Chicago.
Right, and that's Megan, who's a friend of mine, too. And I went and visited in Chicago. And they were the best ambassadors of Chicago. So if you ever get a chance to just follow them around for a day, it's pretty exciting and fun. So so you grew up with how many siblings then?
I've got two sisters and a brother and me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a pretty big family, and all the kids are elsewhere but you, right?
My little sister still lives in Wichita Ivy.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
She's down by East High someplace.
Okay. That's a good neighborhood. Are you there too in that area?
We're kind of just east of Crown Heights.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We lived in a Country Overlook, which is right next to, which is Terrace if you're on Central, but to the north part of Central instead of the south.
Yeah.
So not College Hill, but Country Outlook is what it's called.
Yeah. Well, and you know, College Hill and Crown Heights, all those neighborhoods right there are just really wonderful.
Yeah, they really are. Diverse, culturally diverse, open-minded, and progressive, I think. Yeah, they're awesome. I used to live right around there, and I always wished I didn't want to move when we came out here. But now that I'm out here, it's nice and quiet. I don't mind so much.
Yeah.
It's not really too far.
So. No, it's not bad. And you know, it's nice. Where we live, it's really a quiet neighborhood, and mm-hmm. it gives me the ability to kind of have room to spread out, and nobody yells at me for welding in the driveway or.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you went to East High or?
Actually, I went to multiple high schools in Wichita. I was a horrible student.
You were? You're a bad guy.
Well, I'm dyslexic, and so I struggled with learning disabilities of huge amounts. And I ended up dropping out of high school. I got my GED.
Okay.
I ended up getting a high school diploma, and then I kind of went to work.
Uh-huh.
And actually, the day I moved into a tent and lived in a tent for about a year and a half.
Here in Wichita?
No, we traveled around out in the country. I lived next to a cave for like 9 months.
Wow.
And did guided tours in it and worked on some archaeological digs.
Yeah.
And then we moved back to the city, and I worked in restaurants and things like that.
Sure.
And then eventually I went to welding school.
Okay. So that was during probably your after 18, but before 25 or something like that? Okay. And then you went to school as a older adult?
Yeah. Actually, I just graduated with a BFA in studio arts for painting.
At WSU?
Yeah. I went back. I actually have an associate's in welding science from Wichita Area Tech.
Okay.
Or WSU Tech now.
Right.
And so I have certifications in CATIA.
Cool.
3D design.
Do you do that for a living sometimes? Or
I mean, I do help people with designing almost anything they want.
Right.
I mean, if they need 3D models, I can do that. If they need to figure out production ways to produce something, I can do that.
And are you doing that at that Go Create?
I am. I've actually been working out of Go Create for 3 years almost.
And what do you think of that?
You know, it's an amazing facility.
Yeah.
I've been really fortunate to be able to take advantage of that facility. I mean, to its fullest.
Yeah.
I'm one of the only people who's certified in all the areas, because we have a textile area, we have a tech area, we have a welding shop, a metal shop, a wood shop, I use them all almost daily.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah. I've been real fortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know how to use them. So do they ever use you as someone who can help someone else that hasn't used the thing?
Yeah, they do. I mean, I'm always there kind of working. And so when people have questions, I mean, we have mentors there that work in each of the areas. I look at things a little differently. And so sometimes, you know, I'll help people that are trying to figure out how to make something or just need a little bit of nudge to
inspiration.
Yeah, to get them excited.
Yeah.
And
knowledge about something that so they don't have to work something over and over again.
Yeah. And, and it's, I mean, you know, one of the great things about Go Create is that it gives you time to play on equipment.
Right.
And when I say play, not actual play, but but to try and see what you can do. And and if it messes up, you know, you can start over. And that's one thing that a lot of people don't have access for. I mean, you know, you can't, to buy welders, you know, it's thousands of dollars. And
you can, a lot of people can't afford one, so they would never have any access to one. But this is giving people access to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool. That's what I think about that. I haven't been there, but I hear such good things about it. It's like people rant and rave once they do a project there.
Yeah.
They're like, wow, man, you have everything there. And
you do. I mean, if you need 3D models, I mean, we can print 3D. We have like 10 3D printers. That's amazing. We have wide format printers. You can do... Actually, my last show was called Art Bomb. And I just did it, you know, a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
And 90% of the work that I did was actually made at Go Create.
Oh, okay.
And so it really gave me the time to see kind of how far I could push some of these materials. Because since I use recycled materials,
right,
sometimes you have to bring in industrial processes that you just don't have access to in your shops.
Right.
I mean, or at least
I don't. That allows you to do that?
Yeah,
that place.
It really does.
Kind of ups your level of what you can do?
It does, and it allows you the time to kind of like to create a really finished product.
Mm-hmm. And like there's mentors there, so maybe if you're having stumped on something or you keep burning something or whatever, you can ask someone there?
Absolutely. They've been really good about, you know, if you kind of get stuck in a spot. I'm fortunate that every job I've taken and done has been to kind of learn a skill. I've worked in all kinds of different industries.
Right.
And it was all to kind of learn how to do something. So I went to welding school to learn how to build sculptures and actually build in the correct structure so that they could take the wind load, so that they could take all kinds of different forces that
right.
a lot of people don't know about.
Right.
You know, you have
yeah, to build because it'll just break and then you'll be, you know, you'll have to be out there again fixing it.
Absolutely.
Because they paid you a lot of money to do it, more than likely.
And so
somebody could get hurt.
Oh,
well,
absolutely. You know? And so you have to, so I've spent some time to
think really, about those processes.
Yeah. And I did like trim carpentry when I was younger.
Right.
And
so you're really good at math then.
I'm not.
Really?
I'm horrible at math, but I understand.
How to plug in formulas or something like that?
No. I build things.
You understand engineering by looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, I have a good spatial abilities, I guess is a good way to put it.
That's me too. I think so too. It's like if I see it wrong, I can see it wrong.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. and I understand how parts will fit together mm-hmm. without having to draw it out. And so a lot of times, like my sculptures will start just with like a piece of metal mm-hmm. and then I'll start bending it and I'll cut and I'll bend and I'll mm-hmm. do all these things to make it how it needs to be.
Right.
There's kind of a way of like, just because it's not square doesn't mm-hmm. mean that it's not pleasing to the eye. Sometimes
right.
the things that are perfect aren't...
are boring or something
well,
like
it's
that.
It's not that they're boring, but like there's something about how it will not be pleasing to the eye
right.
or it won't feel correct.
Okay.
And when you kind of put parts together, you know that this feels good and that
right.
this is how it should work.
Okay. And it fits well in this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a feeling where then you're not calculating the curve of the angle or something
well,
like that.
And if somebody needs to, I mean, I can do that. I can build
right.
very precise models, 3D models.
Sure, yeah,
and 3D, things like that.
Yeah.
I am horrible with math, but somehow I'm able to understand how those pieces fit together.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe you're not horrible, Matt. You just never had the right teacher. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Well, it stresses people out to see me do stuff sometimes, but it always comes together.
Yeah.
And I'm real fortunate that I've been able to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay, so you had a show. You were just talking about having a show just recently. So your work, was that at the Go Away Garage?
No, that wasn't. It was actually there's a building on Douglas
mm-hmm.
That was just east of East High School.
Okay.
That somebody loaned me for about two months.
Cool.
They were real nice. It was an 8,000 square foot building.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another 3,000 square feet next door.
Whoa.
And we ended up I took over the 8,000 square foot space.
Mm-hmm.
And then another artist from Lawrence, Jeffrey Binzing,
mm-hmm.
We did a show for him over in the smaller space.
Okay. And that was the last Final Friday or the one before that?
That would have been the December first Friday.
It's first Friday now.
First
Sorry.
Friday now.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I'm catching up.
It happens. It was.
It's the whole month, but the first Friday's the show,
yeah.
exhibition style.
Well, mine only ran for 8 days.
Okay.
Because It was a lot of work, and December's a hard month because you have holidays and things like that.
Sure.
So you can't.
You can't have Final Friday on December.
Yeah.
Because it'll be, nobody will show up because they're all out of town and,
yeah,
and
exactly.
whatnot. Spent all their money already. And
well, and yeah. And it's a hard month. I mean, you know, this was a show that was about 3 years worth of work that I'd been building and saving up.
Right.
That I hadn't really told anybody how much work I actually had built up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was.
You said 8,000 square foot. Did you feel it?
I did, and
wow.
then some. Actually, we didn't. We ran out of room. I had to build some walls.
Wow.
I had to hang stuff from the ceiling.
Cool.
It got a little out of control.
I'm really sorry to miss that. I hope you have another one soon.
Yeah, I don't. I won't have another one that big.
Yeah.
That one was. It was a huge space.
Yeah.
And I was real fortunate. A lot of my paintings are 60 by 60.
Okay.
Or,
pretty large.
Yeah, pretty large.
Yeah.
And so it, and most of like my new prints are all on like salvaged Mylar blueprints.
Oh,
so
okay.
they're slightly opaque and I'm printing them with like
That's cool.
Yeah, they're really neat. You can actually see through them. And it was actually on, the warehouse was brick walls.
Uh-huh.
And so I was able to attach them to the walls and then you could see the bricks behind
wow.
them, which is really nice.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, I try and have fun with the materials.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Yeah, so 60 by 60, I want to see one of these things, like hanging up. Do you have one at your house hanging up?
I do. I have, well, at one point, all of these pieces that filled this 8,000 square foot building were hanging in my house in some place.
Wow. Where do you keep your art?
Right now, I'm storing it in
another facility.
Well, no, I have an art storage room in my house. I'm real fortunate. I have two studios in my house, and then I have a storage room.
Oh, you got a lot of room to kind of sprawl out a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I try and get things out of my studio so I don't keep working on them. Once I get to a certain point, I move them out.
You have to get them out.
Yeah.
That's the same as a podcast.
Yeah.
You really have to, at some point, you have to say, it's done. I can't do anything else.
Yeah.
And everything I do from here on is hurting it, actually.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, and there's a point where you just have to realize that and
it's
just kind of...
You want to move on, too. You want to go on to your next... You've got ideas coming into your head.
Yeah.
Probably as you're doing one thing, you've got ideas for other things that you're trying to keep track of.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I work on multiples at the same time.
Oh, okay.
I just did a large piece called... It's called The 12 Caesars.
Mm.
And it was...
I think I saw it on your website.
Yeah.
Oh, what's your website, by the way?
It's allenworksart.com.
Okay. And you're also on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, it's all under Allenworks. You can find me on Instagram. That's where I post most of my stuff.
Yeah? So you can kind of see what you're working on and then get an idea. Do you have people ever contact you and say, I'm looking for something like this? Or
oh, yeah. Yeah, I
can
mean...
Can I come see this?
I'm real fortunate that, you know, people see stuff. And just actually, well, the last 2 days I've been working on commissions that were being sent to New York.
Oh, cool.
For an artist.
Nice.
And so, you know, I'm real fortunate that I get to do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know...
make money as you're doing it too.
Yeah, some days.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully more. Yep. You know, I mean, now that I'm not in school, I have a lot more time and
ready to make some money and do some different things and such.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha. So what are you working on for the future?
Right now I'm working on
those pieces going to New York or
well no, I finished those and got those sent off.
Okay.
Right now I'm working on a new line of backpacks and bags.
Like wearable creations?
I actually took my 12 Caesars series and I made new edits of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're creating vinyl, banners, backpacks out of them.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That'll be cool. I'd like to see those.
Yeah.
Do you have one with you? Oh, cool. Let's see what you got. I'm going to explain it to the audience. Oh, this is really cool. It's kind of like a waterproof roll-up bag with this. What are these things? Oh, it's Caesar.
It's Caesar.
Oh, it really is Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's about 2 feet wide and, you know, long. You could fit a lot of things or a few things in there and be okay.
Yeah, I kind of made it as like a shop bag for myself.
Right.
I'm always having to carry a lot of stuff into
right.
my studios. And so and when I go out salvaging, it's nice to have a bag that kind of expands.
Oh, this is amazing. So, love it.
Yeah, they're fun.
So how much do you sell one of the... Is this one of the big ones? Do you make smaller ones and bigger ones?
Yeah, or? We're making some smaller tote bags and things like that.
Because you could roll up that and really, you could literally... It could be a backpack for a camping backpack.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and what's nice is it's super light. It's super waterproof. But, yeah. But, you know, it's right now I'm actually just testing different ways to make them to... You know,
Are you making these at the Grow Create place?
I am. Yeah, I'm actually printing the material there, and then I'm sewing them together. We have industrial sewing machines.
Awesome. So you can see pictures of this on this podcast, but I'll also put links to your page and wherever you want. But you can also probably go down to Grow Create and see you make some sometime.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, these are up on Instagram right now.
Okay.
And so and I started it. It was...
And on the back, it has regular backpack straps.
No, the straps are made out of salvaged felt.
Okay, on the inside, so it's not doesn't cut into your anything, and yeah, they look really good.
Yeah, I'm real
really pleased about that. I bet it looks almost like the green. I mean, do you have other colors and things like that?
I do. I mean,
I like that one though. The green.
I think I've done about 130 different edits of my 12 Caesars.
Okay.
And so right now I'm working through which ones work the best for each style of bag.
Right.
And how they fit together. Because when you sew them, you lose certain parts.
Exactly. Like you have the face kind of on profile there. You had to plan that. You couldn't just go, okay, I'm going to print this out and just cut these into slices, because then you would have... slice of nothing and slice
you'd be surprised. I actually do that.
Really?
It
works out though, because of the way the bag is shaped or something.
Well,
or how you plan it.
It's kind of like my wallets are made up of different parts and pieces of...
Oh, those are cool. Is that the same kind of material?
Uh-huh.
Is that mylar? Is that what you
this
said?
This is actually vinyl.
Vinyl,
this is like
okay.
a banner material. And so what they make billboards out of and things like that. And so it's a lot of it is me piecing things together so that maybe you get a small bit of this one, but what it makes each backpack unique.
Right.
You know, and
I gotcha.
I have this thing about making things that are...
No one else has one.
Nobody else has
one. Like, you don't want everyone coming in looking all the same.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, you could put 10 of my bags or 10 of anything next to each other.
And you'll know it's your bag from the colors or the styling, but you won't know... I mean, it won't look exactly like the next one.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well,
I think that's important for a lot of people not to be, you know, everybody the same.
I think that the things that I make and sell should be as unique as the people that are buying them. And so that sometimes is kind of an issue with... I've always made jewelry. I've been making jewelry since I was like 16.
Really?
Selling it. Yeah.
Like what kind of jewelry?
All kinds of different
just
stuff.
Any kind
of
beads and metalwork,
silversmithing.
Oh wow!
This is my necklace. Is one of my reliquary line.
Okay, and it's like on a leather and.
Well, it's actually waxed linen and salvaged bits and pieces. And so, like, there's a piece of copper on here that came from the Crown Uptown. So that's about 100 years old. It was part of their main electrical system.
Wow.
That's
cool.
Well, I try to build.
It means something, right?
Yeah. I have this thing about how Wichita, it's all the things that I saw when I was a little kid walking around and taking those and trying to build connections into each piece. And so each one of my necklaces is 100% unique. And that is somebody's own personal piece forever.
So that's how you explain it, or how basically you find your customer, because that means something to them.
Yeah.
And you've found this thing that could mean something. It means something to you, but it could mean something to other people as well.
Absolutely. Well, and that's the thing is that, you know, like, that's one reason why I use salvage materials, is because they have this connection that sometimes people will never see. And sometimes I don't explain.
Right.
But it has this connection through people and through things that happen.
Right.
And like the blue, all the prints from my last show were done on the Mylar, and those were made on blueprints that some man had to work over
Right.
You know, for years and years. And you can see oils and you can see dirt and you can see all these things that change the prints.
Right.
But each one is unique.
Right.
And, you know, and was part of somebody's life. And that
is. And do you know where those blueprints came from?
Like, I do. I try not to say because they're they're proprietary and technically I am not supposed to have them. They were supposed to be destroyed.
We won't say that. Yeah. But, okay. But you know.
Yeah, I know. And I'll tell people, but like I wasn't supposed to have them.
Right, okay.
Somebody who was cleaning out a building called me and was like, "Do you want these?"
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I took as many as I could.
Right.
And you know, and that's the great thing. I'm real fortunate that I have a lot of people who
looking out for you.
They do, yeah. I mean, I have people calling me.
Do you have
me
anybody you want to give shout out to right now?
Go Create has given me the ability. And you know, I've had a lot of people who've been supporting me and helping me kind of move forward over the last few years.
Right.
I do a lot of work with like Bob Burdett.
Okay.
And Robert Bupp, who is a professor at WSU, has like really stood up and helped me over the years.
Cool.
Getting through school.
Yeah, that's nice.
And so, you know, most of the other people, and the salvagers, they're...
Yeah, there's just people looking out for you because they know you like it.
Yeah.
And then just kind of stranger and like... Passing ships.
Yeah. Well, and they're very, you know, I'm real fortunate that I get a lot of unusual calls that sometimes randomly I'll come outside of my house and I'll find chunks of roofs because they had something interesting on them or somebody will just leave weird things for me thinking that I might want them. And sometimes I do. And
sometimes
I'm
you
like,
don't probably.
Yeah.
Well, that leads me to kind of like minimalism and that kind of intentionality kind of deal. You're like storing things or uncovering things or just basically preserving things and making them better or different to not put so much junk in the world or to lessen the load.
Well, I hate to waste things.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many things that you see that can be reused and can be made into something else. And
like repurposed type deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And truthfully, you know, it started out when I was younger because I was real poor when, you know, after 18.
Right.
And I couldn't
When you were camping.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. And I didn't have a lot of money to buy any kind of materials. And so things that I found, I was able to turn into other things.
That you needed.
Yeah. And it was, you know, I'd make things and sell them to make money.
Right.
And same thing with jewelry. I'd find chunks of leather out of a bag or something and I would turn them into bracelets.
Right. And then sell them for a little bit and make some scratch on that.
Yeah. But it was something that really instilled that I needed to try and use things as fully as I possibly can.
Right, I agree.
My backpack, I actually, when I make those, I only waste a 6-inch long by 2-inch wide piece of material.
Right.
And that's it. Which is a very small
amount.
Right,
and you could actually, if you keep them all, maybe make something else. Who
knows? And I do keep them all. I turn them into wallets and things
you
like
do?
That.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay.
You're using it all then, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it takes me a while to get to that stuff.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I really try and use everything I can, because it's just, it works
out. It's the right thing to do.
It is.
It really is. And we just waste so much and just pollute so much in this environment. So,
yeah.
I think that's a big problem, and we can all work on it a little, but sounds like you're doing your part.
That's right.
And so, is there any... you want to tell a story of inspiration?
I mean, I can.
Yeah. Do you have one?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm not inspired by any one particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I really am inspired by all the amazing artists that we have in Wichita and all the things that happen. You know, we live in really such a wonderful community for the arts.
I agree.
Or for artist. I don't feel like everybody's supported in the best ways always.
Right.
I'm kind of vocal in the art community, and sometimes I catch a bad rap for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we have so many amazing artists in Wichita that work so hard and that are trying every day to move forward, you know.
For sure.
And it, you know, I don't even know how many artists I know in Wichita. I mean, I started out at the Go Away Garage, mm-hmm. 16, 17 years ago.
Okay.
And through there, I've met.
And they're nice people, you know. Oh, everyone yeah. seems nurturing of one another, and they you are. Know what I mean? To what you can.
For the most part, you know, yeah. there's still some issues. You know, the city, I would love to see the city step up and support, you know, artists a little bit better.
Right.
And it'd be nice if some art groups
were more vocal, or?
Well, we're more inclusive.
Maybe. Oh, okay.
You know.
They're shut off a little bit.
They are. You know, mm-hmm. it's, I see young artists struggling to kind of get into.
Yeah, that's hard.
And, but you know, it's that effort that they're putting in that mm-hmm. really is inspiring. I mean, people are really trying to do amazing things.
I think so,
and,
too.
And, like, lately I've been trying to get more artists to come to Go Create because mm-hmm. I know there's more that I can get help them
right.
achieve.
And that will help them go further in their art, and one open door. You
yeah,
know, like,
absolutely.
One success will open all the doors of the communities that have them.
Well, and,
you know, and
it,
closed unions
yeah,
and stuff.
And it's all one step. You know, you yeah. take one step forward, take another step,
yep.
take another step, and all of that slowly builds on it.
I think so, too.
We really are a fortunate community.
Yeah, we are. I think so, too. I think we should get out more and spend a little more money on events, you know, whether that be a play or whether that be an album or whether it's a sticker. You know, just kind of being there, showing your support for our community is really important.
It is. And you know, we have so many locals that are making things and selling them in great stores.
Right.
It's building. And you know, and it's there's always been a great community of artists.
Mm-hmm.
But right now you're really seeing some people really shining and really going for it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's a great thing to see. I
mean, it is. It's inspiring. Is. You're right. Well, I'm really pleased that you came, and
yeah.
It's really a pleasure to meet you. I'm glad to see what you're doing, and I'll post all of your sites on the notes for this podcast.
Wonderful.
And I'm also putting it on YouTube on the side. So, yeah, it's really nice to meet you.
Yeah.
I hope the best for your future. Wonderful. Thanks for catching a pocket with me.
Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, that was Colin Allen, and I have put all his links to the notes on this show, so just kind of look through the notes, and you can just click on those things and see what kind of art he's producing, those cool bags that we talked about. I do apologize about my dogs barking in the background. I don't know what happened there. I usually have radio silence while I'm doing these, but they're just getting more different. I just interviewed someone over a full interview over Skype. I hope it comes out okay. The sound's going to be a little mushy until we can get back. I am looking for my next guests. So if you're interested and you have a story of inspiration to tell and you are from Wichita or live here or make some sort of art in some sort of way here, music, poetry, you paint, I don't care. I just love it, and I want everyone to know how cool Wichita is, and you're a part of that. So get me at catchapocket@gmail.com. You can see me on Instagram, Facebook. I have a Twitter with like 2 followers. I don't get on there very much. I'm posting all these on YouTube as well, so I'm getting some additional feedback from the YouTubes. And if you guys have any other things you want to say, you know where to get me. I'm always here waiting for a good conversation, ready to catch a pocket with you. And I hope you guys catch a pocket you can be proud of.